Chapter 3. Faulkner was a wiry guy about my age and height, with a small mustache and a chip on his shoulder the size of Catalina Island. He had a high-bridged, almost Indian nose, with heavy-lidded, deep-set brown eyes. His face was tan, and he held a blackened pipe in his thin lips. I couldn't tell what was going on in his head, other than that he had a distaste for the room, the situation, me, and possibly life in general. His eyes seemed to show melancholy, calculation, and a private sense of humor at the same time, as if he saw himself as a tragic figure and accepted the role, maybe even welcomed it. I can't say I liked him immediately. I wondered whether he knew any vampire poems. "Your client," Coelty said, ushering Faulkner to the chair across from Phil's desk and backing out with feigned respect. Faulkner didn't sit. He didn't offer his hand. He took the pipe out of his mouth and examined me.
"Forgive my lack of social grace in these surroundings, Mr.
Peters," I said. "Toby Peters, private investigator working for Martin Lieb, and I guess Warner Brothers on your behalf." Faulkner's voice was a little deeper than I'd expected and distinctly southern. I was having trouble with my words, trying to be formal and knowing I was unnatural. He had that effect. Faulkner stood behind the chair, playing with his pipe, and I walked over to the window behind Phil's desk and pretended to look out. Since it faced a brick wall 4 feet away and hadn't been cleaned for a generation or two, I couldn't see anything. "I don't think they're going to give us a lot of time in here," I said, "so I'd appreciate it if you just tell your story." I pulled out my notebook with the worn spirals. It had a few ragged pages left. I could finish up on the back of the letter in my pocket from a hotel in Fresno complaining that I owed them for a night.